You're listening to the Women Inspiring Women podcast. Each week, network marketing professional and mom-turned-entrepreneur Melanie Mitro gives you her tried-and-true tips for building a business from your kitchen table. This self-made millionaire went from a stay-at-home mom to the top of a network marketing business in just 3 years. She built an online health and fitness business from the ground up while raising babies and juggling being a mom and wife. Now she wants to help you become the boss of your own life. For blog posts, business tips, and more, check out her website at melaniemitro.com. Now let's get to the show. Here's your host, Melanie Mitro.
Well, hey, everybody. It is Melanie Mitro, the host of the Women Inspiring Women podcast. And I have a special guest with me today. I've got Michelle Smith from Recovery is the New Black. She is a sober coach, and I have been following her for more than 5 years now. We were connected through Chic Influencer. She was actually one of our OGs, original members of our Chic Influencer community. And I've just watched not only her social media, but her brand just explode. And she's really, her content really has resonated with me, especially as I've gone down this path and this journey to really uncovering what some of my own issues were in terms of like gut health and inflammation and adrenal fatigue. And part of that process of eliminating things from my life to get to the root cause of what was really triggering a lot of problems in my body was eliminating alcohol. And what ultimately happened in that process of eliminating that for me is that I realized alcohol was actually a huge trigger in my life. And I always used alcohol as like a way to, it was like social anxiety. I've always been that way where I was like, all right, I'll have a cocktail before we go to this party. It'll just help me kind of loosen up a little bit and feel a little better as I go into this situation. And what I realized when I cut it out and then slowly tried to see if I could reintroduce it was that drinking alcohol was actually making it worse. I was having more anxiety. My heart was racing and it was causing me to have a lot of brain fog. And what happened is over time of cutting it out and trying it and cutting out, I just got to the point where I was like, I'm better without it. And so I've spent the last 3 years just really stepping into this phase of my life where I've learned to do things differently. And I get a lot of questions about it, a lot of questions about the social aspect and a lot of questions about why I made that choice. And so I wanted to bring Michelle on because she is the expert in this field. And we're going to have a really cool conversation about just if you're curious about eliminating alcohol in your life, whether it's been an issue for you in the past or not, I feel like this conversation is going to be super valuable to my listeners. So Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want you to dive in and just let's introduce my listeners to you. Tell them a little bit about your story, your life, how you got to where you are today as a sober coach.
Yes. So I am Michelle Smith, as Melanie mentioned. And, you know, I'll start with just, I had a really good childhood. I grew up, did the college thing, you know, was always a high achiever in college, obtained a really great career, climbed the corporate ladder, basically checked every single box that I was supposed to check when I created this life that I wanted for myself. And I started to notice that when I started to achieve my goals of finding this dream job and creating this beautiful family and having this beautiful home, that there was something that was missing. And a lot of unfortunate events started to happen at the same time, such as my mom died as I was becoming a mother myself. And I started having health issues and was undiagnosed with postpartum depression. And I had a stroke. So there was all these things that were happening all together. And I stayed away from alcohol pretty much nearly all my life until my early 30s, because I had a predisposition to alcoholism and I knew that I didn't want to be that person. So I always say I had the perfect example of what not to be. And I poked the bear. I started to slowly introduce alcohol into my life. I had control over every aspect of my life. Powerful, educated, smart, driven. And your mom's dying, Michelle. Here's a glass of wine. You're grieving. Mm-hmm. And as we know with habits, whether they're unhealthy or they're healthy, small routines you reach for this external solution to this internal problem, and it starts to become a habit. And it became a habit for me that was very slow and steady until it became a daily habit where I became chemically dependent, which is, you know, which took me down a spiral of just having to rediscover who I was and pick up all of the wreckage from the damage that had been done. And so I go around and really just educate and spread awareness and prevention that, you know, alcohol use disorder happens to anyone. It doesn't matter what job you have, who your dad is, or how much money you make, that it's so important to be mindful of what we're putting in our bodies and really like address it before it becomes such a severe issue that we're chemically dependent that now we have to stop and we don't know how. So that's been my passion for the last, geez, 10 years of just digitally working with women who just want to lean in and get curious about their relationship with alcohol before it becomes problematic. They're seeing the writing on the wall and they don't want, they know what's going to happen. And so they're really trying to nip this in the bud. And I'm loving the sober curious movement of just simply, what would happen if I took a break? Mm-hmm. And that information is so powerful to so many of these women. So that's what I've been doing and that's what I've been up to.
Yeah. Okay. So you were very kind as you were explaining your backstory. You've actually written books. You are, so talk about what you've done. You've written books, you're speaking, like share a little bit about what you've been doing.
Yes. Yes. A big thing for me is having a career where I had to keep my disease a secret, you know, that kept me sick even more. And so now it's kind of like the reverse of publicly just sharing with people, because there are so many people dying out there for me to stay silent in a struggle that I don't necessarily look like the disease of addiction, you know, or the face of addiction. And so for me to be able to write a couple books, one of them is an entrepreneur book, and I talk about being a person in recovery and a person who has been able to achieve some really, really cool things along the way. I have a journal that I have created that is so cool for anybody, regardless of what their relationship is with any substance, food, gambling, Amazon, all the things. And I've done a keynote speech on, geez, multiple actually, in a TEDx talk regarding really the pandemic and my relationship with alcohol and how it is similar to other women that are also seeing the patterns of leaning on this chemical and really finding alcohol as more of a primary coping tool than they're originally used to.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so true. It's so true. It's like starts out as very innocent and then it quickly can spiral out of control. So when was it that you kind of hit that rock bottom where you realized, oh, I have got to make a change?
Yeah. You know, I ended up drinking too much and ended up in the hospital, which is every mom's worst nightmare. You know, we protect our kids and would do anything for them. And I put them in dangerous situations toward the end. And that was the bottom for me of having both my parents gone. I was doing the same thing to my kids. I was eliminating myself from my life because my life felt really hard and overwhelmed, and I felt depleted, stretched thin. And, you know, that was a time that was like, if you don't address this, you are being selfish. This is affecting everybody who loves you, and it's not right. And that mama bear instinct of ever potentially losing my kids or exposing them to what I had to deal with as a child. That was really, you know, that mortality motivation is what I call it. I nearly died. And this thing that I was leaning on for so many years was not going to ever take me down again. And that was where I drew the line in the sand. And I told myself, Michelle, this is the one thing that you can't or choose not to do. And it leaves endless possibilities of things you can. And so I really got into the mindset of, what am I going to gain by this journey and this lifestyle versus everything I'm going to lose? And I think that that's a big thing that holds women back, especially is that, you know, well, FOMO and how am I going to celebrate? And, you know, we're going to be okay. We do everything the same way. We're simply switching the drink that we have in our hand.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And for me, especially, it wasn't about I got to the point where I was like, I enjoyed having something fun in my hand, right? It wasn't about the fact that there was alcohol in it or not, because I actually was like, I don't like the way I feel. You know, I don't like that I can tell that my judgment might be impaired, or that I might say things that I regret later. And I don't want to wake up with that anxiety of, oh my gosh, did I say too much? Did I, you know, have that conversation? So I didn't like that, but I really enjoyed the fun cocktail part of it, you know, coming up with these great. And so it was just making that switch to finding a good mocktail. So I had something in my hand that felt like a dessert. And that was more it was like a reward. And I don't know if that's the same thing for you, but I get really excited about making and finding really cool mocktails these days.
Yes. And I mean, we're not in the O'Doul's era anymore. We're in the era where we can have fun, sophisticated, delicious drinks that actually are adding value to our life and improving gut health and not stripping us away from everything. I mean, you know, it's poison. When you're ingesting poison, and our bodies are not going to love us for it. And if we treat our bodies with kindness, they will return the favor to us. And so having all the fun, delicious drinks, they're lining the store shelves. They're in gas stations now. It's super fun going to I went to a restaurant the other day and they were like, would you like a mocktail or a cocktail? And I was like, what'd you say?
I know.
And he's like, and I was like, thank you for offering that and the selections that you have. So it's really cool to see that it's becoming a thing, a person who chooses not to drink and not necessarily, we don't have to label ourselves as anything in order to take a look at our relationship with alcohol. For me, dairy doesn't serve me. Meat doesn't serve me. Alcohol or smoking. I don't engage in any of that, and that's okay. And that's a lifestyle that I choose. And I expect to be honored by that. There's nothing wrong with me for doing that. It's actually really empowering, and I'm role modeling for my kids, and I'm utilizing other coping tools that are adding value to my life instead of reaching for the first one that yes, is effective in the moment. Gives me that instant gratification, but it robs me of all the other things that I need to experience and feel and know that this too shall pass. And so, you know, I've been sober now, geez, a little over 7 years. Okay. And it's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, it is. And it's when you started your journey 7 years ago, and there was nothing. I mean, it was what? You're not drinking? Very judgmental, you know, and there was no other option. And so I'm grateful that our society has become more accepting and has given more options. And unfortunately, it hasn't always been that way. And so I want to speak to the woman that is listening right now that really is curious, you know, curious about trying this out. Am I better without it? Does it have to be like a commitment? Do I have to have a problem in order to, you know, want to be sober? So where would somebody start? What would be some advice you would give to the woman who is just trying to figure it out and just feels really nervous about this decision?
Yeah. You know, that's like one of the main questions that I get is, Michelle, I don't know if I have a problem with alcohol. I don't know what steps I need to make. And, you know, I think if we ask ourselves that question, we know the answer. And sometimes people don't like to hear this, but people who don't have a problem don't wonder if they have a problem with alcohol, right? Okay. And so that's all the information you need to know is, I think I might be drinking more than I probably should be. And that creates space to lean in and get curious about your relationship with alcohol. So take an aerial perspective and just, why am I doing what I'm doing? What value is it bringing to my life? What is it going to cost me if I don't take a break from drinking and see how I feel? Instead of just drawing a line in the sand and this black and white, I'm an alcoholic or I'm a normie, there's so much that happens in between that space. So just simply get curious why you're doing it, what you could do in place of it, and notice the resistance to that. If it gets really hard, that's information. That's telling you something. And there's patterns of our behavior that really we're leaving ourselves breadcrumbs, you know, whether it's just unresolved bereavement or postpartum depression, or we're struggling to build a team, you know, whatever it is, there's a reason that we're doing what we're doing. And so grab a book on you know, alcohol-free living. There are so many fun podcasts and Instagram handles to follow. You can be a fly on the wall. You know, I did that with like, just like my weight loss journey. You know, I would eat pizza, but motivated and cheering other people on that were losing weight. And eventually I started to do it. I started slowly to incorporate small habits. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, really, no labels are required. Don't think about forever, because forever is a really long time. And just start to notice and journal and just take inventory on how important and significant this thing is becoming in your life.
Mm, that's good. So don't really marry yourself to a deadline. Give it a try. Mm-hmm. Really pay attention to, it's like raising your level of awareness. Why am I choosing to have mm-hmm. this drink? And really asking yourself, is this how I'm celebrating? Is this comfort? Is this how I'm dealing with stress? And then also asking yourself, what could I do instead? And I don't know, do you coach women through that? Like replacement behaviors? Is that something yes. that you do? Okay. So walk us through like replacement behaviors. How would you coach somebody through like stress or, you know, going out for a date or, you know, a celebration? Cause like everything in life is circled around alcohol. You know,
right. It really is. And so, you know, we do a lot of practice and refusal skills in regards to that. So if someone's going on a date, it's common for social anxiety for us to want to pre-funk and to have a glass of wine beforehand or whatever, just to ease our nerves. But it's so important to remember that we can do really hard things, such as get on stage and do a keynote without taking a shot or a glass of wine. I don't show up to a job interview that I'm really nervous about and drink. So I know that I can do this, and these women can too. And so, you know, what we'll do is graze the menu of the restaurant that they're going to go to so they don't fumble on the drink that they're going to have. So they know exactly the environment, what they're going to drink, and they know what they're getting themselves into beforehand. A lot of times they'll text me before, and then they'll text me they're going to bed sober. So really scoping out, like, how am I feeling? Doing that whole body scan, is this going to be, is this going to set me up for failure? Is this a good thing? You know, and just really trying to get to the root of what the triggers could potentially be so we can find those like barriers and detour according. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they sit down, if people are looking at the drink menu, go right to the dessert menu if that's the way that you want to reward yourself. And so that would be one way for social anxiety purposes, and going to a meeting or having a pep talk with a friend beforehand, like making that commitment, girl, hold me accountable. I don't want to feel like garbage tomorrow. I have to be on stage. Like, mm-hmm. I just need that reminder and support and accountability because these goals are important to me.
Mm, I love that. I love that. I love the, I even used to do that in my own weight loss journey. I would go on and look at the menu ahead of time at whatever restaurant that we were going to. And I would say, okay, this is what I'm choosing to eat. And I would, so that I wouldn't have to be swayed by other people's choices once we were there. So do the same thing with the drinks as well. I just never even thought to think that through.
So. Absolutely. It's the same thing, you know, and just the full awareness of whether it's whatever we're trying to do, whether it's fat loss journey or, you know, alcohol free mm-hmm. journey, it's simply a lot of the same tools. It's awareness. It's the mindset. It's creating the idea that, you know, if there's so much that you're going to lose, like, how can I shift this into a positive experience and know that this is going to be adding value to my life and I'm becoming a better version versus, you know, that again, those like simple, intensive, like gratifications that I'm going to get for a few minutes, you know, 15 yeah. minutes max. So mindset matters. It's like a huge, I know there's a big movement around mindset right now too, which I love because mm-hmm. it is really powerful. Whether we think we can or think we can't, we're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is true. And your thoughts, they become whatever you're thinking, that becomes your actions. Your actions are the results you get. So if we have poor thoughts, we're going to have a poor outcome. And whatever we're thinking is just, that's going to become our reality too. But you can find whatever you are looking for. And actually, Katie and I were recording a podcast earlier today, and we were talking about just raising your level of awareness. It's like if you're driving down a road and you say to yourself, I'd really like to have, you know, a pink Jeep. And you're like, I've never seen a pink Jeep before. A pink Jeep would be great. And then all of a sudden you start seeing pink Jeeps because you've raised your awareness. You didn't know they were there before. But if you bring that to the surface and you start looking for other people who have the same values and also don't drink, you'll actually find them everywhere. I'm so much more aware now. And so it's great. Like you find a different circle too when you become more aware of the choices that you're making as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do that with drinking too. The ladies will go in and they're like, everybody's drinking in this restaurant. I want you to blink your eyes a few times and relook. Notice the people who aren't, because there are more that aren't than are. And so we focus on what we believe to be true until we prove ourselves different, right? Or believe a different story. And, you know, 6 months from now, who do you want to be? What does that alcohol-free woman look like? How does she behave? How does she deal with stress? What does she drink to celebrate and feel special? How does she reward herself? How does she deal with conflict when her kiddos are just, you know, really struggling with the bedtime routine? How is she going to unwind and be that version and do the habits and the routines of what that alcohol-free version of you is doing, and how she got there from where you are right now?
Yeah. I am such a better mom. And I'm so glad I kind of figured this out before my kids were at that middle school age, to be honest with you, because I want them to see me as present. I want to be there to have conversations with them in the kitchen, you know, and I feel like in my younger years, when they were younger, that's just what we did. Every Friday and Saturday night, we would have friends over, we'd have cocktails, we'd have a good time. And I just feel like I wasn't showing up as a very good mom. Like I wasn't really present. You know, I was falling asleep or I was tired or whatever, you know, I just was kind of doing my own thing. And I want them to now see that you don't need to have alcohol to have fun. I want them to know that it's there, but I don't want them to rely on that. Like that doesn't need to be the way, because if I model that behavior, guess what they're going to do? They're going to think this is the way you have fun. This is the way you relax. This is what you do on vacation, you know? And I just don't, I feel like I'm so glad that I can set that example for them that I don't know if I wouldn't have gone down this journey. I don't know where I would be today. You know, I think it would be a very different story. So yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking about one of the common questions that I just chat about with my friends is, so my husband is like, he loves a good bourbon. He loves a good Manhattan. He literally has a collection in our house of all these different bourbons that he collects. And so that was actually a challenge, because we would sit down at night and he would make me a cocktail and we would watch a show together. And so at first it was kind of awkward, you know, kind of navigating this, but we've kind of stepped into it. What's your advice for people who are going down this path of sobriety and their significant other or their best friends? They are very social drinkers. How do you navigate that?
Yeah. You know, I always hope for if people will put paraphernalia away or bottles away or lock them up in liquor cabinets, depending on where people are, you know, in their journey. Some people just can't have it around a lot, but there's these situations where people can't control everything. And so having replacements for things that do bring you joy and having accountability partners, you know, if having Matt make you a delicious non-alcoholic version of the exact drink that you enjoyed. We have these like connections, right? The sunrise is better with a glass of wine, or this is exactly what my husband and I do when the kids go to bed, you know? And so much of that is fear-based of what's going to happen with our relationship if alcohol is not involved anymore. Am I going to like my husband? You know, what are we going to talk about? Where are we going to go out on dates? And so I think it gets so far ahead of ourselves that, you know, to really the replacing of a drink and what we have in our hand is really, really powerful. So that's where I would start. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like a mocktail. It can be a club soda with lime, you know, it could be a ginger shot. It could just be anything that's going to add and nourish value to your life. And, you know, what I've noticed in my journey is that some of my natural supports in my family don't get what I go through. And that is really hard for me. And it has been throughout my whole journey. And so I have the choice to focus on that and sit in that discomfort and just, you know, feel sorry for myself. Or I can say, you know what, they support me in other ways. And I have a sober community of women who get it, who are going to celebrate these victories and who are going to give me new recipes. And so it balances out the support. And so those are the few things that I would say to people listening is just find delicious alternatives. And, you know, if you don't have your family on board right away and you're not wanting to be vulnerable or even introduce this idea to anybody, find even just one other person that you can just share this with, because just letting it out for accountability, it really does help.
Yes. It does. And I will say Matt's been super supportive. He is always buying me fun mocktail things. Or if I say, I really margarita, like I saw that there were non-alcoholic margaritas at Mad Mex and he went out and it was so good. I was like, this is amazing. He went out and found the mix, brought it home. And so he's really good about, even when we have friends over, they would always like question why I wasn't drinking. He would always come over and be like, here's your drink. You know, he'd always give me my mocktail and make sure that I was taken care of, which is awesome. Like you need that person that is just going to get you and is going to, it's just going to support you in that journey. And I really feel like you distance yourself from the people who don't, if you can support your decisions. And I feel like that's an important part of relationships or friendships is, are the people in your life empowering you or are they sabotaging you? And are they doing it because you're making them uncomfortable with the decisions that you're making? And a lot of times people will say negative things because it just intimidates them, or maybe they don't want to realize that maybe they have some challenges that they don't want to face yet. And I'm sure you see that in the people you work with too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people aren't going to get it. And a lot of times it's ignorance or lack of education. Mm-hmm. And so the more times, you know, people step up and just say, no, thanks, just for the health of it. I'm good. I have my own, but thank you for thinking of me, you know, goes a really long way. And just people who can just provide alternatives, you know, when you have a function, have non-alcoholic versions of that same thing, whether it's a mimosa at a baby shower, you know, have the, you would, I'm sure you know, but other people would be amazed at how many people are going to grab a non-alcoholic drink if it's available. Yes. And so just to know that there's options and to get that support, and the more confidence we have around saying no and using those refusal skills, the more empowered we're going to say, we don't have to fumble over why we're choosing not to do this. If it's this gray area of, well, I'm not an alcoholic, I just don't like the way it makes me feel, and it's not allowing me to reach my goals.
Yeah.
That's enough reason to say, oh, no, thanks. Enjoy your drink. No judgment.
Yep.
Because I'm not drinking does not mean that you can't, or that you can't responsibly. And I'm not responsible for how that person feels about my choice to not engage.
Yes. Yes. That's such a, don't make decisions because you don't want to make the other person feel uncomfortable or hurt their feelings. It's like, you have to stand in your power of what you feel is true to you, even if for a moment it feels uncomfortable to do that. In the end, you will be so proud of yourself for standing up for what you want, right? Like we can't mm-hmm. keep bending to what, just to make everybody else comfortable or make everybody else feel, you know, I don't know, not called out, right? So I think that's super important.
It really is. You know, and I always say we live in this really boozy culture and alcohol is really normalized, and in addition to being really glamorized, especially mm-hmm. in the midst of motherhood. And that's the way that we've created the significance of bonding and belonging and meaning. And, you know, it's slowly starting to come down that we can still have really good bonds and friendships without, you know, bottomless mimosas yeah. and really getting to the root of like, why are we drinking? Like, because our kids are overwhelmed and because we're not putting up boundaries and, you know, our expectations as mothers, do we need to look at that? Because I was always falling short. What yes. I expected, type A, anxious, overthinker, people pleaser, perfectionist. I did all of it. I was just digging myself into a bottle of wine at night because I was always going to fall short. My expectations were never going to be obtainable for me or really any other human being on the planet. And I had to own that and say, where do I need to ask for help? Where do I delegate, prioritize, and really just sit down and say, right now, Michelle, you're at a phase in your life where you can't do it all. You have to focus more on your career and, you know, your kids are getting older or, you know, whatever that transition looks like, it's going to ebb and flow throughout motherhood. But that was a huge piece for me was, you know, the overwhelm. I have a sticky note on my computer that says, I don't do overwhelm. And if it's going, if I say yes to somebody, but it's going to cost me my recovery or my mental health, it unfortunately this time I'm going to have to say no. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard, but you know, I don't want to go back to where I was. And so putting up a boundary and saying no doesn't make me a mean person. It makes me a healthy, responsible one.
Oh, that is so good. I really, really love that. And I just want everybody to kind of pause on that for a moment. Is just, you have a choice. You have a choice of what you say yes to, and you have a choice of how you show up, and to really start evaluating the false expectations that we're putting on ourselves. I mean, Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, everybody is only showing the highlight reel. And it is an unrealistic expectation to say my career is thriving. Every personal relationship that I have is at its peak. My house is spectacular and spotless. I mean, right now I've got my dishes over there from lunch that I haven't even taken into the kitchen yet. And I've got laundry in the living room. Like, it just, that is life. I might be crushing it in my business, but my house might be a little messy. And just to understand that that's also, we're humans, and perfection is something we really have to be careful that we don't get caught up in, whether it's career or motherhood too, and fall into unhealthy habits. And so that kind of, the high performance habits is something I study a lot, and I'm an Enneagram 3. I know a lot of my listeners are just high achievers, and you know, I know that the food we eat and the supplements we take, the rest that we get, all of that plays an important role. And so from a health perspective, you know, even somebody listening that's like, I don't know, I don't really think I have a problem, you know, what would be the health benefits or how you're showing up better in your career? Like, why should somebody go down that path of removing alcohol so that they can actually perform better in their career and in their daily life?
Right. Well, you know, alcohol is pure ethanol. It causes cancer. It's a carcinogenic. Like, there's nothing good about it. And even a couple years ago, the World Health Organization came out with a statement saying zero amount of alcohol is good for us and risk starts at the first drop. So when we go back to our old belief systems of holding on to alcohol, saying my doctor told me a glass of red wine at night is good for my heart, that is not the case anymore. Is that zero amount of alcohol is good for you. And, you know, what it's costing the country that we live in, and, you know, 140,000 plus deaths every single year from alcohol related causes, you know, that there's so much that happens under the influence. And so, you know, the ways that it does affect the body too, people think it helps them like, oh, well, I fall asleep and it helps with my anxiety. Those are always the two biggest pieces. And it's like, you know, it's like pouring gasoline on your anxiety. We call it hangxiety. The next morning, you're just like, feel like garbage and you have brain fog, and then you skip your workout, and then you slop pancakes together for your kids because you just don't want to deal with it. And it's like, that's where it pours into other areas of your life. We don't think about that in the moment. We think about right now, I want to have a good time, or right now I want to quiet the noise in my head. That's such an overwhelming feeling. And so what I notice, and what a lot of women notice, in within 30 days, the inflammation goes down, the bloat, the skin, the sober glow. I swear it's the fountain of youth. It is this thing. It's real. It motivates me to have more energy. I'm not dehydrated when I wake up. You know, I mean, we have a little bit because we've been sleeping, but it's not anything in addition to the hangover that's associated with it. Yeah. And, you know, it lowers our risk of cancer. You know, the list goes on and on of all the benefits that do come from it. And it's okay to be anxious. It's a feeling that we all need to feel, and we can lean into it, and we don't have to do anything but sit there.
Yeah.
And it will pass. And the same thing with sleeping is that it poisons your body. It helps you pass out, and it poisons your body. It's an anesthetic, and we don't get natural REM sleep from it. Mm-hmm. And so we're not getting well-rested sleep. We're trying to go to the bathroom, grab water, Tylenol. And so those are the things that it's taking from us. Our sleep hygiene routine is completely messed up. Yep. And just the overall, just we don't have that clarity to perform and show up for the people in our lives who depend on us and who love us.
Yeah. All right, friends, I'm interrupting today's podcast episode because I got to tell you about a super awesome opportunity for you to get connected with other women who are building their network marketing businesses and are really serious about taking it to six figures and beyond, want to recruit working teams, want to be in rooms with other women that are strategizing, collaborating, sharing ideas and best practices that are working right now to help you advance your customers and your team sales forward. All right. All you've got to do is check out the link in the show notes. Join the collective. The Direct Sales Done Right Collective is the number one membership hub for network marketers. It is a place where you go to get monthly masterclasses, downloadable resources, courses that are specifically designed for network marketers in mind, and a wonderful Facebook community that can help you troubleshoot on a day-to-day basis. You get access to myself and my business partner, Katie Ersta, every single day inside of our membership community. Friends, and when you sign up with an annual membership and you use the code PODCASTSAVE100, you can get $100 off, plus you can get with your annual membership our Direct Sales Done Right Planner, Time Blocker, and Book. Right now, we are getting ready to go into March talking about how to use rewards trips, company and conventions, and leadership events to help you boost your team building. This is going to be a month you are not going to want to miss. So get your membership to the collective now, and we'll see you inside. And I resonate with everything that you said. I noticed, and as I was sort of going through this process, that my heart was racing at night. I was waking up in the morning and I would have a headache and I was not very productive and I would get angry with myself. Cause I'm like, darn it. I know that I don't feel alert and awake today. And I have these big goals for my business and for my life. And I can't show up as my best self because of the choices that I made last night. And that just isn't the kind of business owner that I want to be. And the more that I went down that path of high performance and brain capacity and cognitive function and maximizing the time that I do have, I just was like, this is not serving me. I want to get in, I want to do my work, and then I want to be able to spend time with my family. I don't want to lag on my work because of a choice that I had complete control over. And that was enough for me to go, yep, not serving me anymore, moving on. And like, you could not talk me into it if you tried at this point, you know? And like you said, we do get normal anxiety. We do have social situations that are uncomfortable, but I've also really leaned into my supplementation. Lots of great natural supplements that can help promote calm. You know, magnesium really does help you sleep, and L-theanine is a great supplement that just does help you if you are typically an anxious person. But I also find that having a better quality sleep and a better diet actually gets rid of the anxiety on its own. So I notice a lot of the things that we feel are really environmental. It's the food, it's the drinks, it's the way we're not taking care of our bodies. And you know, it's really, I encourage people to explore how good your body can feel when you start eliminating some of these things from your life.
Absolutely. Everything that you just said. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not a bad thing. It's a power. It's an empowerment. It's a thing that's just only going to bring value to your life and not take it away. And forget the labels, forget everything else. Just see how you feel. You know, it's just like we do with the scale, ditch the scale. And you know, how do I feel? And how do my clothes fit? And that's the same way with choosing not to drink. If it's not serving you, you know, it takes so much time away from us. It robs us. And people often say, I'm bored. This is boring. And it's like, but you know how much time you just got back in your day because you're choosing not to drink or engaged in it or hungover? These are days that are gifted back to you. And it's really not boring. Sometimes it just creates an opportunity to discover the anxiety, the grief and loss, you know, the stuff of why we're drinking in the first place, if we need therapy, you know, all of the things that we need to get to the root cause of, because that's why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So yes, the benefits are just absolutely, they're unlimited. And yeah,
it's incredible. Okay. So last question I'll ask you.
Okay.
Parenting question. How do you parent? What do you say to your kids? How do you navigate this whole situation? Cause you know, it's going to come up for them as they get older. And so what's your approach?
You know, my kiddos were younger when I stopped drinking. So my older daughter remembers a little bit about mom when she was drinking, but I'm very open and I'm very, you know, I teach in their school. schools and all their friends love me and know it. And all the moms call me and, you know, mm-hmm. I gave them that support. So they're very pro sobriety. I've had to reel them in a few times of, well, this person drinks. I'm like, that doesn't make them a bad person. You know, they're just defending the position of a sober mom. And so, you know, I think for me, it's normalizing it. It's normalizing that I can have an off day and I can sit in it and know that it's going to be okay. And they see that. They see me saying, you know what, mom's going to go take a walk right now. You know, it's been a really rough day at work today. I want them to know that I have bad days and good days. And I want them to see what I choose to do instead, because they're watching. That's where our core values and our beliefs about alcohol were stemmed from, of what we believe to be true, is that it looks sophisticated and adults do this. And it doesn't have to be my way. And so, you know, it's very a house that's not anti-drinking, it's pro-sobriety. And we're gonna find different ways to resolve conflict and different ways to celebrate, because a lot of the outside world and social media, as you know, we can't control that. Yeah. And so we have a really open conversation, you know, about just the predisposition that we have in our family, along with other health related conditions and diseases. And so the more I create space, I can't protect them from drugs and alcohol forever, but I am going to make sure that I do my best to educate them and provide awareness, you know, of how this is going to affect them. Mm-hmm. That's been my approach. It's very open. And I'm sure there's going to be a day where they're going to do what they're going to do, you know, and I have to bless and release that and know that that's not anything that I can do other than just to continue to live a life of recovery and be there for them when they do have questions or if they do begin to struggle.
Yeah. I love that. It's a great perspective. That was totally a personal question. I was asking that for myself because I was like, I really want to know the answer to this. So. Well, okay. So if my listeners want to connect with you more, follow up, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you? Share them with that.
Yes. I spend most of my time on Instagram and my handle is Recovery is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And my website is the same. So you can find a lot of fun things that I'm up to over there. And I have my journal where if anybody's interested in just documenting their journey, Living Sober, Living Free is the journal that they can get on Amazon. And it's just literally just finding information and clues about what's going on in your life. And I think that that's a really powerful tool we didn't touch on, but it's one that I think a lot of listeners can really benefit from.
I love that. I love that. All right. So Recovery is the New Black. I will link that in the show notes. Your website is amazing. I know you're working on some things. You've got some projects in motion that are going to be launching in the next month or two. You've got some things that are happening. So make sure you go check out her page. She's got great content. I mean, you have such a binge-worthy Instagram. You could just go down a rabbit hole of watching all of her content and just getting some great advice, whether it's for yourself or for situations that you are being faced with. But I really hope that today's podcast episode gave you some perspective. Maybe this isn't something you thought about in the past, or maybe you just thought, nah, that's not for me. Like, I don't have a problem with alcohol, but maybe you have a desire to show up differently in your life, to elevate your relationships, to elevate your business. And this might be a way for you to reach that next level of just stepping into the best version of yourself. And that's truly what I strive to do here on the podcast and in my life, is be that example to other people. So Michelle, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Make sure you tag us on Instagram at Recovery is the New Black, at Melanie Mitro. As you listen to this episode, let us know what your favorite takeaway was, and we can't wait to hear from you. We'll see you back here next week for another episode.